traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
The fight's literally in like a month and 18 days.
But
like,
you've been training.
I've been training. That's okay. The thing.
Does Nate Robinson know this?
He doesn't know what he's getting himself into.
He doesn't get it. You know, I've actually avoided getting tattoos because I don't want to turn into you and just merge into one human.
Be the same human?
Well, we'd just be a beast with 8 limbs.
What about that Squirtle tattoo?
Well, I put it in a spot that's next to my penis that only my loved one can see. Shout out Josie, who's over there. She doesn't hate it, by the way, which I was afraid that my future wife would hate it, which would be a problem, I think.
It is kind of random. And not going to lie. I thought you were going to get more tattoos after that.
I thought so too, but I feel like it's either one or all or nothing.
What about the one that you had for your shoulder?
I spent 5 hours with the tattoo artist drafting a giant hawk. Fucking hawk. Like full sleeve and chest.
Did you see Soulja Boy got the tattoos removed from his face? He got all his face tattoos removed.
He should have just got his face removed. Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. We're out here doing podcasting with stuff. Hit that subscribe button. We like all of you. Jake is here. He's my brother. He's here to talk about some things that happened. What'd you do? You released a music video.
Yes.
You just confirmed a fight with Nate Robinson, that retired basketball player, right?
He's an ex-NBA player.
That's a big
deal. On the Mike Tyson undercard.
Oof, that's huge, man.
It's crazy.
Big week for you.
Big week. It's a lot of things in the works that are finally coming to fruition.
Patience is key, and being your brother, you know, I see what goes on behind the scenes. And I want to say you've done a great job exercising that virtue, you know, because it's hard. I can imagine like wanting to announce this fight, wanting to make that next big jump, and it looks like this week is it. And that's what tends to happen, right? Like in life, things are going really good, and we talk about this a lot. You have that momentum. Or just things are going really shitty. Back to back to back, but I think you might be on that wave right now.
That's what I was saying to my friends. Like I was in this funk, and I was like, "Dang, like what's wrong with, like, I don't feel like good, or like I don't feel creative or inspired." Mm-hmm. But I was working my ass off every single day, and it was because of delayed gratification.
Yep.
So I was boxing, sparring, training like really, really hard every single day, but I wasn't seeing anything from it.
Yep.
So in this world we live in, you can get a girl on Tinder, you can get likes on everything, so instant gratification. But boxing as a sport is
slow burn.
It's such a slow burn. I've had to like really change my mindset. Even right now, knowing that, it's still like, okay, I still have to train for 2 more months before the night of the fight, and there's not going to be that much gratification that comes from it.
For sure. But at least you know it's going to happen now. And it's funny you say that, because I just did a thing with Cam Newton. I don't know if you saw that video of we basically did a practice, and he threw a bunch of passes to me, and I'll be honest, I was really proud of that. Like, if he invites me again, I'm not going, because I like overperformed. I caught.
Oh, you did good?
Yeah, I did.
I remember in high school you couldn't catch
for shit. So that's what I thought was going to happen, but I actually caught like probably 90% of the balls, which I was proud of. But the reason I bring it up is because it was interesting seeing Cam, who was a free agent, right, for so long. He just got picked up by the Patriots. Go to sports rehab for 5 hours a day. He goes to sports rehab for 5 hours a day. He works out.
For real?
Massages, gets everything in line, and then he goes and throws and practices. And for him, I don't know how long he was a free agent for, but it was fascinating to know that he puts in that kind of work every single day, not knowing what the next step in his life is. And then he got picked up by the Patriots to replace Tom Brady. So it's that delayed gratification and that trust that when you put in that kind of fucking work, there will be a payoff.
Yeah, you gotta be patient, I guess, trust in the process. And I think it's that with athleticism and like that type of thing, that's really where, you know, the delayed gratification comes in with all athletes and waiting for the championship. And you have, you know, the state wrestling, the states, like you have to wait for that one moment to shine.
Yep.
It's not waiting. You got to get there.
Yeah, true.
I was with you after you got there last time, and it looked like an entire year worth of Instagram likes at 1 second after you won that last fight we were at. You were going nuts, bro. You were outside going crazy. We're hoisting you on our shoulders. Jay. That shit was crazy. So, I mean, do you think it's worth it? Would you rather work towards one long-term, like, big goal as opposed to all these, like, as opposed to, like, getting a shit ton of retweets?
No. 100%. Yeah, it's definitely worth it. I would say winning a fight is the top three feelings in the world.
Coolest,
like,
shit ever.
I wouldn't orgasm.
Know, I wouldn't know, but,
it's but, almost but like being
it's
like
probably, it's probably dope.
It's so sad.
You tied one. Didn't you tie one?
Yeah,
you tied
that, that's
one.
That's even worse. That's even bro, that was even worse.
That is so anticlimactic. You can't even hang your head in defeat or raise your hand in victory. You're just somewhere in the middle. It's like it might as well have never happened. Yeah. But it's almost like a chick that makes you wait a while to smash. You know what I'm saying? Like, like as opposed to like just thotting it up with a bunch of retweets and TikTok likes, you wait for that long-term build up and then you get to fucking after a fight, you bro, spray a fucking victory nut.
Hell yeah.
Unless you lose. Do you ever think about that?
No, I
it's it not. Runs in the family.
No, it's it really doesn't. My dad told me about all of his street fights in high school.
Always won.
He's always won. Yeah. It's really
he's a lover, bro. Lover. Okay.
I've always been the outlier, but I'm the maverick. Like if I won, that would like you'd expect that, right?
Yeah, we would expect you.
Yeah, I had to throw a curveball
and lose on purpose.
Take a fat. Well, that's why I did.
Oh, you did it on purpose.
Duh. He'll get there. He's just gotta let him fly.
So I'm sorry I interrupted you. I feel like you're about to hit a funny joke.
No.
I'm not talking.
Oh, sorry. What's the limit? I don't know. I'm not quite sure. It's Saturday. We're not supposed to be here. It's overtime.
I like it.
The top three feelings in the world.
Orgasm.
Yeah.
Winning a fight and
buying depreciating assets.
Yeah, like I was gonna say, like earning like more than $1 million, but also like at the same time spending that
for this fight. Which one are you gonna do? What's the order that you're gonna do?
I'm gonna win the fight.
Yeah.
Orgasm, and then technically I would win the fight, get the paycheck, then orgasm, and then buy a bunch of stupid shit. Okay.
It's a nice bag.
Yeah.
Hefty paycheck.
Yeah.
More or less than any song Gibb.
It's just a different deal structure.
Okay.
It's just a different deal structure, but it's nice.
I'm surprised you negotiated, I'm assuming, fairly harshly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is interesting because it's on the Mike Tyson undercard. You'd think they'd save all their, cash for Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. Yeah.
I think everyone involved in this event was more so focused on like, let's make an amazing sporting event. Because there's nothing really happening right now. We wanted to make like a big splash in the sporting world. And Mike even said it too. He's like, this isn't about the money for him. And it's really not about the money for me. Like I could have negotiated harder. I could have asked for more money, but I was kind of just like, you know what? This is fun. We've been in quarantine fighting under Mike Tyson's a dream come true. Yeah. Roy Jones Jr. Not to mention like it's really just going to be an amazing night. I don't know if I'm, I think Lil Wayne performing, Eminem
I thought
performing.
You were saying he was fighting.
Wow. Lil Wayne versus Eminem.
I could be wrong here, but like Post Malone performing, like
this is from,
the list goes on with that, by the way.
Where is this being hosted?
It's in LA about an hour away, but there's not going to be an audience.
No audience.
No audience at all.
Right.
Can we go?
I don't think so. I think I get like three tickets.
Yeah, but there's three of us. So, what do you mean?
Sorry.
Wait, what do you mean? Wait, hold on. Is Triller putting on this fight? Is that the plan?
Yeah, so it's going to be on Triller. So download the Triller app to watch. But then you're also going to be able to, it's going to be on every TV basically across the world.
Behind a paywall?
Yeah, pay-per-view. Like
how much?
I think 60 That's to 50, be 50 to 60. Right? But yeah, Triller's putting it on and no audience, which is crazy. It's going to be
crickets.
Super weird. Crickets.
They should put crickets.
This is what I said. This is what I said. After I win my fight, I'm literally just going to like get a bag of popcorn and be sitting in the audience by myself watching some of the best fighters wow. in the world. Like
that's crazy.
Like I it's wonder a private if you're even event. Able to sit there after. If
that's true. I don't even know the rules. That's what I'm saying.
Here's a rule. Eddie Hearn unfollowed you on Instagram. Bro, and started Matchroom.
Fake as fuck.
But then he refollowed you. So it's like maybe somebody did it for him. Like, and he was just like, no. I ain't wanted to unfollow him.
Because Matchroom Boxing unfollowed him as well, right?
Did you I mean, like, you kind of built, you and Logan kind of built a thing with them. Like, are they, I mean, are they, do they feel kind of slighted that you went and trilled it up with the, with
Mosheleezy? Come with bags and opportunities. Like, this is a business. This isn't high school where I'm like, oh, I'm going to unfollow you. Like, yeah. It's kind of, it's a little bit petty.
What, did they have anything on the table? Were they offering, like, were you still in talks with them or like, what do you think?
I think everyone was trying to figure out events. There was 10 different companies and promotion people and rich people trying to figure out.
Bro, I want to be on that undercard so bad. I'm not gonna lie, I'm jealous. I want to be fighting so bad.
I feel like that's what kind of drives like us as a brother unit. Like, we get jealous of each other and it builds like hard work.
Also, I think it'd be slightly it wouldn't be a smart business move, because like you can drive a shitload of downloads and sales, and like at what point are we just cannibalizing and making dumb decisions? Like,
exactly, it's going to be the same audience.
If I had to fight 2 months later, you double your revenue, like in the blink of an eye.
What if someone pulls out of the fight? Would you step in?
Nah, I don't. I'm not game bred fighter. I don't take fights on 6 day notice. I'd like to go through a proper training camp, get ready, know my opponent, and really be prepared for the fight.
The fight's literally in like a month and 18 days.
But
like,
you've been training.
I've been training. That's okay. The thing.
Does Nate fucking Robinson know this?
He doesn't know what he's getting himself into. He has no idea. Get it. He doesn't. He thinks it's like, I had my first like press phone call with him this morning, like an hour ago. And he just doesn't know what he's getting himself into. He thinks that it's like athleticism and I'm a world-class athlete. I'm one of the best athletes in the world. And within 10 minutes on the phone call, I got inside of his head. Like, he doesn't know about the shit talking. He doesn't know about sparring. Like, you can't learn to fight in a month and 18 days, unfortunately.
It's impossible. It's impossible. I don't care how good of an athlete you are. I think he's way in over his head. I honestly think him taking this fight is fucking silly. I would not be surprised if he backs out. Because, dude, there's no feeling like someone trying to fucking destroy you and getting hit in the head over and over and over, being knocked unconscious on a canvas and having to get back up. I actually think the no crowd works in his favor.
Yeah, 100%. Because when I remember in our first fight, when it was in front of 25,000 people, there was so much adrenaline dump because the crowd was just yelling. And that's something that, you know, people, you can't train for that or get used to that. But even still, like, I was clowning him on the phone call because he's talking about all this shit. And I'm like, yo, your training videos on Instagram, you're wearing Jordans. Like, buy yourself a pair of boxing shoes, buddy, with all that NBA money, and fucking train, dude. Cause like, not only have I been training, but I'm very talented at the sport, and it's not a joke. Once the 10-ounce gloves come on and once you get hit in the face,
no, it's not a joke. It's not fun. It's not fun at all. It's a very scary reality of like losing. Again, you go dark for a second. Time of your life is stripped from you. Oof. When you're knocked out, which Nate Robinson, I'm confident, will be. I commented on your Instagram post. I'd be surprised if he makes it past round one.
And that's what I told him on the call. And he's like, no, you're lying. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. And this is where I just put my hands up. And I'm just like, guess what I said last fight? Guess what everyone doubted me last fight? When I was sitting with all the reporters, when I was walking into the arena, I said, first round. I'm going to knock him out. First round. Yeah. The night before the fight, first round.
Yeah.
And I do it.
You don't take your time. That's why.
There's no point. Like, I'm ending it in the first round, and Nate Robinson's not going to be any different. And I fully believe that with my whole entire heart. And we'll just see what happens. I've proven myself in this sport a number of times now. So when I say some shit, like, I think it deserves more respect than what people have been giving me or what people think is going to happen. Like, I'm not just saying shit just to say shit anymore. I'm not just like talking shit to build up a fight.
I think like why that happens is because in this kind of new era of the sport where you have, you know, listen, like, no matter, you fought two fights, right? Two fights now, 2-0.
It's like, if you count Joe Weller in the backyard, right?
Let's not count. But I think until you get like a solid portfolio under you, like a very solid portfolio, it's really, I mean, it can go any way. Yeah. It can go any way. Like, you've got entertainers fighting professional athletes. You've got YouTubers fighting TikTokers now. Like, I think people are going to have their doubts until you get to a point where you deliver. Like people are still saying every fucking time Ryan Garcia walks into the ring, he's capping. He ain't going to get it done. He's 21-0.
True.
And every single, and by the way, this is not new. This has happened since the beginning of sports. So like, of course, it's going to take you a little bit of time to prove yourself beyond 2-0. You know what I'm saying? What is this guy's portfolio look like? Why does he feel like he could step in the ring against a boxer? Like just because he played, is this AB, but for basketball?
He's 5'9" and he won the dunk contest 3 times. He's a superior athlete.
Yeah.
He's fat. I expect him to be fast. I expect him to be strong, but unfortunately we know this from wrestling, you can have as much strength as you want in wrestling or boxing. You could be as fast as you want in wrestling and boxing. If you have the technique, that's all that matters. I on the phone call, I was like, he's like, I'm an athlete. You haven't faced any athletes before. These are all YouTuber bums. And I go, look at Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder. Who is more athletic and what happened there?
Yeah.
Sport isn't about being athletic. Yes, it helps. It helps. It's a cherry on top. This sport's about experience and technique.
And
you can't learn that shit in a month and a half. And that's something he's just going to go to sleep in. And he's watching this right now. It's going to haunt him in his sleep. The night before the fight, he's going to be shitting himself.
It's got to be embarrassing. You're 23. And he's an ex-retired NBA star. And he's going to get dropped by a YouTuber. I think underestimating you will be the biggest mistake he's made in his life. Question. Do you think, is there a part of you that fears you overperforming, showing too much, and scaring KSI off for a fight?
I think KSI is already scared.
I know. But when he sees you perform
in
this level of skill that you have now, do you think he'll postpone forever?
I thought about this. But then that just makes him look like a bitch because he's talked more shit than I have. And he's the big bad, you know, I'm KSI. I beat Logan Paul. I talked about this with my team. Does by taking the Nate Robinson fight scare KSI because he's going to see how good I am?
Yeah.
But KSI, I believe, is a delusional optimist. And he, I think in the back of his head, thinks he can accomplish anything and is tougher than anybody. And
because got to give props where props are deserved. Like he's done a lot of shit that everyone said he couldn't do from his career path. I'm sure when he was younger, people made fun of him for making videos. Now he's one of UK's biggest YouTuber. So just like most of the people in this scene, almost anything is possible until it's not. And he's been on a winning streak. He's releasing music. It's semi-successful. He won his last few boxing matches. And taking an L to Jake Paul doesn't really fit in his life agenda.
But at the end of the day, this is a business. And we're all here to make money and have fun. But the bag is going to be big enough for him to take it. Like, he's not going to be able to deny the amount of money that we're going to be able to make off the fight.
It's going to be a lot of money.
It's going to be a lot. And so when that's sitting in front of you, and when that amount of money sitting in front of you, combined with his large, large ego, and combined with the fact that he, I think, really genuinely thinks that I'm just like a little twerp. I'm your younger brother, so I'm not as strong. Like, I think the fight will happen.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
And I was even talking to his manager, and his manager said, do this fight, do another fight, Jake, do another fight. And so I still think there's a 99.5% chance of the KSI fight happening, even after he sees me against Nate Robinson.
Cool. That's going to be exciting.
I'm stoked.
You and him actually released your music videos on the same day.
Which was
interesting.
Yeah, I didn't know he was releasing a song, and then someone on my team who like keeps up with all the internet.
You listen to it?
His song? Yeah, I watched it.
What do you think?
His verse is awful. The rest of the song is cool.
Fuck. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. He sucks at music. Like,
I think he may have taken a step back with this one.
Isn't this one more like dance?
It's a really pop. He collabed with a DJ, yeah?
Yeah, it's like a marshmallow song with a singing like
pop. And it's sick.
It's a good song.
It's really good.
Minus KSI's verse.
I hate to say it. Yeah, he comes on and
you just want to turn it off.
Well, which sucks. Cause like I want him to do well. I want to listen to a KSI song and be like, this will go on the radio. Mm-hmm. Cause listening to the song, I was like, holy shit, this is everything. Like it's a beat. It's fast. It's melodic. It's catchy. And then his verse came on and there's something about it that there's like a disconnect. I don't think he's hit the mark yet.
There's no lyricism. I know exactly what it is because I went through this phase, and as much as people want to hate my shit or whatever, I have put in the time, effort, energy, and hard fucking work down in my basement in the studio to actually learn the craft and learn how to become good at music. And KSI hasn't done that. What he's doing is he's going into the studio with a bunch of other writers and a bunch of other people who are telling him what to say and telling him that it's fire and it's good and this and that. And they're coming up with ideas and he's doing it and they're putting that song out. He doesn't have, I bet you KSI doesn't have any music like in the stash.
I mean,
he's not being selective in what he puts out.
Yeah. He saw some, you know, has obviously seen pretty serious commercial success with his music, at least from a YouTube standpoint. Right? And so for example, I mean, none of us on the show have charted before, so we can't, you know.
That's not true.
You have charted on.
And he has too.
For the Wide Only song?
Both number one.
Whatever. I think just like boxing, it's another thing that takes time, patience, practice, effort. Sure. So like, I'm not gonna sit and count him out. You know, I think just like anything else, like.
Hold on, no one's counting him out. The specific song.
No, I know, but I'm just saying like he's only spent how much time making music now. I think it's too early. You guys have definitely had your pokes at him and his musical capabilities. I'm not even prepared to make those pokes yet because I'd like to wait to see how he progresses as a artist.
You have no comment on this song?
I don't feel as serious about him.
Have you listened to
it? I listened to it sometimes. The one with SZA I liked. What was the dude he had that did the chorus on the song? That last song he put out?
I don't know.
All right, whatever.
There's a line, the second line in his song that he put out, it says something like, I've been to war. I got a purple heart. I said to myself, you got a purple heart? You talking about the award given to wounded or killed soldiers in the United States military?
Yeah.
Where's the authenticity? That doesn't even make any fucking sense.
So there's also like this big discussion. I watched all the reaction videos. I watched everything that had to do with both songs. And people, first of all, I've never seen a reaction to any of my music because I haven't like that. In such a positive way because I haven't put anything out in like a year and I've literally just been working. Right. And so when I put it out, people were like, what the fuck? Like everyone was like, this is Jake Paul. I hate Jake Paul, but I like this. I can't believe this is Jake. Da 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 da. And all the reaction channels instantly went to be like, oh, he has a ghostwriter. And so there's still this like stigma around like people just couldn't accept that I made a good song. So they're like, oh, he's working with writers. But
people do that to Drake too, I feel like a lot. But
Jake, you gotta understand, switching gears for a second to focus on you. It is hard to break out of the YouTuber stigma.
Yeah.
Like it was, you remember how hard it was to not be the kids from Vine?
Yeah, true.
And then finally we became YouTubers and now we're like, like I kind of want to be known as like a professional boxer. And then you're going for a rapper. Like it's going to take a lot of time to fully shift people's mindsets. A lot of time and a lot of work.
Do you feel any sort of pressure on already having a built-in audience and really trying to test things out on a big stage with your music? I mean, you have a major audience.
I did at first, but now I just know my shit's good. And reality, like the audience's reality is catching up to where I'm at from a talent standpoint with my music. They're like, oh, this is crazy. Like I've never seen such a positive reaction. So I thank people and I really appreciate it. But I have so many more songs that are The one song is even better than that one. There's another one that's even better than that one. And I've just been waiting to put them out. And there's more to come. And I think people just think like that I'm not taking it seriously. Mm-hmm. Like, and that it's just something where I'm paying people to make my music. Like, no, it's me, Joey, down. We go into the studio and then we just create a vibe and make the songs. And that's why I'm pissed off. Like, that's why I'm low-key getting this off of my chest, because everyone on KSI's reaction was like, oh, whatever, this is okay, da-da-da, this is okay. No one says anything about writers. But when you go to his song credits, like on all of his songs, there's literally 100 writers. Like,
did you write this song yourself?
Yeah, yeah, me and one friend.
How is that
possible? Vibing in the studio. Vibing in the studio. We were going bar for bar. We go in the studio and play the song over and over again, and we're just like turning up, like, and he says a line, and I'm like, yeah, I'm like, see, 8 bad bitches like the brand new vet, I'm like, oh, he's like, oh, that's fucking hard. And they're like, we just go bar for bar back and forth, and that's how I work. It's just like, that's it. And so people are like, oh, he didn't write this, like, suck my nuts. And then you go to his song credits, and it's like written by Brian Trice, Dominique Jones, Sean Gambly, William Leonard Roberts II. Like,
bro, how did no one catch that a Purple Heart isn't given to British folks who aren't in any sort of military? How many writers on that song?
On this one, it's Ella Henderson, Johnny Latimer, Trey Jean Marie, Nathan Daw.
I'm done.
Like, finally, bro, got the credit.
Go to my song credits and look at what it says when it, and you click on writer.
We gotta stop.
Stream fresh out of London on that. Go save it on your Spotify.
When Mike's leaning back, I know it's bad.
I'm listening. But this song was probably your. Would you say this was your best attempt at music yet? Your best song so far?
No, I have a better one.
But that has been put out so far.
Oh, though. That's been put out. Yeah.
I feel like it got a better response than a lot of your other music.
The best response I've gotten, hands down. I even saw KSI fans with like profile pictures of KSI being like, damn, like, I respect Jake for this. Well, like,
bro, at the end of the day, I would like to think that where we are at a spot where we can have a civil discourse about a song, make some comments about it, look at it semi-objectively, even our fans, and then come to a conclusion of their own.
Yeah.
Like, I think both his fans and our fans, your fans, my fans, whatever, like, aged up to a point where, and we mentioned this a lot on this show, if you see something that's good, even if it's from somebody you don't like, you can say, hey, that's a good piece of work right there.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, say, I don't know if this is the one, but I'm sure he'll come up with something better next time.
Facts.
Again, I try not to shit on people for too long in the show. I just think it's an interesting
not doing good at it.
I know.
I guess that's what I'm getting at. Like, I was thinking about this the other day. Like, that humility versus competitor. That's why I always have trouble on this show sometimes when you two talk pre-fight. And I know that's a very like fighting and wrestling and combat sports situation to be in. But I was thinking about it the other day. And one of my biggest tips for people that are moving into a new arena is to, and this can't apply to boxing, I don't think, but not to shit talk your competition. And I don't think it applies to boxing or rapping. I think in those two places, you're constantly playing down or shit talking your competition. You know what I'm saying?
100%. But like, well, that's why we're here.
Yeah,
bro,
yeah.
You and him have a outstanding beef that I'd like to continue a narrative and keep building up. For the next year. Yeah.
Like, it's like
by the time this happens, it's gonna be the most like talked about hyped up thing ever. So is it all business?
But also wait. I just want to put a pin in that because me and my friends, we criticize each other's music to the fucking T.
Right.
Change that one line. I don't like that one. That one's shit. I have 40 songs that will never see the light of day. Maybe 60.
Right.
Just because it's just not the vibe. And we talk shit about each other's music. We're like, change this. We even big artists, we're like, you know what? I don't think he should have put that one out. I didn't like when he did that. I didn't like the flow on this. I didn't like his whole entire album. Like, we have these conversations as artists. So now we're just having it about a competitor whose name is KSI, and obviously there's beef.
It's objective criticism is what it is. I think it's healthy. I think it helps us all become the best version of ourselves. And like I said, I'm sure he's going to come back with some fucking bangarangs. But I don't know if this last one was it, Chief.
Stop right there. We interrupt this programming to bring you a word from our sponsors. Whether you're working from home or you're working on your fitness, you want what you're listening to be what you're listening to, not what your neighbors, your roommates, your significant others, or your children, if you have those pesky children, what they're listening to. No, everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. But before you go dropping hundreds of dollars on a pair, you need to check out the wireless earbuds from Raycon. You already know Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and they sound just as amazing as other top audio brands that you know. Their newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, are their best ones yet, with 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and a more compact design that gives you a nice noise-isolating fit. Raycon's wireless earbuds are so comfortable, perfect for conference calls or binging podcasts, and unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet with no dangling wires or stems to distract anyone during video calls. You've heard me talk about how the company was founded by Ray J. Celebrities like Snoop Dogg, Cardi B, Brandy, J.R. Smith. They're all obsessed with Raycons. Pick up a pair and see what the hype is about. Now is the time to get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/Logan. That's my name, L-O-G-A-N. Buyraycon.com/Logan. 50% off Raycon wireless earbuds. Back to the program.
Next up, bro. I mean, shit. Here we are. Talked about a lot of times.
Stream
of
fresh out of London.
Stream.
How'd you come up with the title?
Just keep on.
That music video is awesome, by the way.
Phenomenal.
Thank you. I'm super proud of that one. But fresh out of London, she still got an accent. So there's some bad bitches.
Did
in
you direct
that
it?
Have accent. Yeah, I directed it.
Are you?
So I like came up with the concept and just sent it. Like I love directing. That's what I said when I was on set. I'm like, I'm gonna do this shit when I'm 45. I'm definitely gonna be a director
for sure. Is this gonna take you that long? I'm going to do that in the next 10 years. In 10 years, I'll be doing that.
I just think it's something. I think it's like a retirement job. So,
yeah. Have you seen The Gentlemen?
Oh, my God, dude.
I haven't.
You should watch it. I've heard about it. It's probably one of my like top three movies. I bring it up because Guy Ritchie, who directed it, and I think he also wrote it, is like directing is such an art. And I think it's so cool to nail a project with weight like that, like a feature film or a music video, whatever it is. And
Flat Earth. I've been trying to get him back into that mind state to want to do another long piece of long form content, but it just doesn't seem like it's in the cards right now.
The guap.
There's just a lot going on. Yeah. Well, there's no money. There's no money.
That's what I'm saying.
You
know what I'm saying? It's like, hard to make money in that unless you like create the next Paranormal Activity and you make a movie for $500K and it makes.
Which we thought Flat Earth was, by the way. I just think the audience hasn't caught up to it yet. Like from both a movie and a musical standpoint with the Flat Boys music, like I think people are sleeping at the fucking wheel when it comes to that shit. I texted you yesterday and said, you got some momentum going. Keep your fucking head on and stay out of the fucking news, Jake. Why can't you stay out fucking news, bro? Now you're back in the news for good shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you see yourself fucking staying on momentous track here?
I see myself staying on a momentous track, but there I find myself in situations where I don't think
Calabasas.
It's not a party. It was a music video. It was the music video shoot, and there was 80.
You had a backhoe. Why did you have a backhoe?
So look, the backhoe was in the music video. Was holding the stage.
Sick as fuck.
Right. So then we get done, and everyone's turning up. Right, and I'm inside, like, directing the next scene. Like, all right, we got to go get the cameras. Boom, boom, boom. Changing outfits, da-da-da. And I come outside, and I see, like, the most, like, all these TikTokers, all these, like, girls hanging from the crane and, like, just having the time of their lives. Like, this is, like, it's a roller coaster. I'm like, yo, stop. Like, it's on camera. I'm like, this is a liability. This should not be happening right now. Someone's going to get fucked up, and I shut it down.
Did you say that because it was on camera?
No, because I am getting to a point in my life where I'm mature enough or getting to the place where I'm mature enough to, like, realize, like, this is not good.
In certain situations.
Yeah, nice.
And I think it's everyone just wanting to stay safe and not spread coronavirus. And
coronavirus. It's corona time.
And you know, there's other there's another influencer party that the same thing's happening to them right now. They're all over the internet because they had a party. Like
even
2 days
Charlie
after
was
mine.
At that one.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was a big
there's
deal.
One last. There's parties every fucking weekend here in LA.
This one blew up in the news. I said I don't want to pressure you to not do the things you're doing because you're so young. And I said, technically, you can do exactly what you're doing for as long as you want, but it will just limit how far you're able to grow on the other end of things. So your start time on your takeover is going to limit the amount of takeover you can do because you're going to get too old to take over at some point.
Not if
you keep a really strong diet and work out a lot.
I think, just playing devil's avocados. If he goes down this rock star, I don't give a fuck route.
That's the problem.
There's a lot of power we talk about all the time and authenticity.
I mean, I did. I got a best selling book out of it. I said that too. Like if you get a bestseller out of it, that becomes a movie. Then do it. But
if he's a hype machine.
Yeah, facts.
And people want to watch him fight because they want to see him lose, and some people want to see him win, and he keeps on winning. there's a model there.
Yeah, facts.
But and also it's like. At what point do we go back to regular life and not be, you know, stopping everything we're doing in our day-to-day lives because of coronavirus? At some point there has to be like let's go back to normal. Otherwise we're all just going to be in this pandemic quarantined forever. And all of these small businesses, everything's going to go to shit. The economy is going to crash. Like at what point is it just like, hey, I, as a young kid, am probably going to get this virus at some point and
survive it. You're gonna best it.
Well, now you're talking about scientific questions. And the answer to that question is when we start to see a downtrend. And unfortunately right now in this country, we're about as bad as it gets. It's never in the course of the pandemic been as bad as it is today. Today, we will set a new death record in California, just like we did yesterday and just like we did the day before that. And so the answer to that question is, once we start to see a downtrend of death and a return of healthiness, we can start to make those kind of decisions. Until then, unfortunately, we're bound by death rate and bound by the upward trajectory of this pandemic.
Just going out in public, though, what would you think the split is of people who are taking this very seriously, or at least considering the implications of coronavirus, versus the amount of people who think it's total bullshit, a hoax, and are not here for the mask wearing? Give me a breakdown.
Well, I mean,
we've been traveling a bit.
Yeah.
The amount of people who write this thing off is unbelievable.
No.
There are so many Americans who do not give a fuck about coronavirus.
But I think to base the right opinion or the impactful opinion of what is the right next step on the people who decide to ignore it is probably not the right step, right? Like the people who have said like, this is a hoax, I'm not wearing a mask. Like those are probably the same people that say STDs are a hoax, I'm not wearing a condom, I'm not doing, like the same people, I'm not wearing a seatbelt, I'm not, you, like those are those people that live life like that. You don't base the optimal path forward upon the outliers. You base it upon scientific opinion
data. I'm with you. I'm asking a question because I think the number is higher. They're not going to speak up, right? The people who are criticizing Jake on social media are the keyboard warriors. They want something to say. They want to raise their arms and get solidarity with their group and their clique.
I think
there are a lot of people who have that same exact mindset where it's like, hey, they look around. How long are we going to do this?
I think it's pretty light at this point. Trump he was one of the last people to do it, has come out with a mask and said, yo, you have to wear a mask. And he was the person that was saying, don't wear one. Like now when he comes out and says, imagine this, for the entire duration of the pandemic, Trump threw his mask out and said, yo, masks don't do anything. This pandemic's fake. It's going to go away with the warm weather. He said every little thing to play it down. Now he's got the mask on and he's almost going as far as saying, yo, I think I was a little bit wrong about it. When he backtracks and says, I was wrong about it, and starts wearing a mask to campaign rallies. And by the way, cancels the GOP fucking rally that happens prior to the election, canceled because of coronavirus. When Trump cancels his own thing, it has to make all of those other people who are, you know, out there not wearing masks and saying like,
lead by example.
You know what I'm saying? I think now that we've reached this point where pretty much everybody has pumped the brakes, said, yo, obviously we have to take this thing seriously. It's probably time. But it was time a long time ago.
Yeah, for sure. But something that bothers me though is 95% of the masks that people are wearing are just cloth. And I was doing like research on it on Google with like certified doctors. And they say like, it gives you a 15% like increase.
Better than nothing. It's better than nothing. I think that's the logic there.
And I get that.
Say it with me now. Sports are back, baby. Sports are back, baby. I've been waiting for this day since March. And now that it's here, I've only got one thing on my mind. That is my bookie.
MyBookie is a home run, slam dunk, triple overtime, game-winning shot, all wrapped up into one. I love it. You love it. And that should be all you need to hear in order to start betting today. MyBookie has up-to-the-minute odds on all your favorite teams, and with the start of Major League Baseball just around the corner, there's never been a better time to start playing. With MyBookie, it's very easy. You bet, you win, they pay. Feeling good about your team's chances this year? Be sure to check out MyBookie's World Series future bets. Nothing shows you believe in your squad like betting on them before the season's even begun. But why stop with baseball? Smart bettors are always looking towards the future. And in this case, that means basketball, hockey, and football. In fact, MyBookie is already accepting bets on all your favorite NBA, NHL, and NFL games. There's never been a better time to start exploring the world of online sports betting. Join today and MyBookie will match your deposit 100%. Plus, they'll toss you a free $10 MLB future wager. All you got to do is enter the promo code LOGAN when signing up. Remember, at MyBookie, the terms are simple. You bet, you win, they pay. Back to the program.
I hate the hypocrisy that exists. Like, I'll say it. I've said it 1,000 times. If you're going to call someone out, if you're going to cancel someone, if you're going to make a tweet denouncing someone, better make goddamn sure you are a perfect human being. P-E-R-F-E-C-T. Perfect human
being. At least
being.
In that genre, too. Like, at the very least, in that genre. So if you're going to talk shit about people going to parties, don't throw a fucking party under any circumstance. Yeah.
And
you cannot go to a sports arena right now to watch let's talk about baseball first, an outdoor sporting event or a football game. But you can go sit in a metal tube and fly from LA to New York.
That's what
no
I'm
problem.
Saying.
No problem. In sitting in recycled air with, like, why can you not go to an outdoor event? So I'm with you.
Where your cloth mask is only preventing 15% of the bacteria that's coming through.
I'm telling you, I gotta respect. No, where I get what you're coming. What you're saying, dude.
I get it, and I think a lot of it boils down to the disastrously confusing response and data and outlook that we have been given for this virus.
The
next best steps have been so fucking smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
If you go, it started off as if you go outside today, you'll die immediately. If you even walk out your door, we were all hunkered down. We had food. We were like, yo, if we raise little calves into cows now, we could eat because we're never going to leave the house.
But we made a doomsday run.
Right?
Same.
Then what the
fuck? I thought everything was over with.
Then within 3 months, America was reopening. All the stores were reopening. Masks aren't needed. Now Trump's got the mask on and people are dying. It's like, there has been such a, at least in my eyes, there's been such a horrible, such a horribly confusing response to the pandemic that doesn't give me any reason to not or to throw a party. So I have to agree with you on that completely.
I think one thing that's interesting about these two Paul brothers is your curiosity and how you have to touch the stove in order to figure out if it's hot. The curiosity is incredible. That's what has made you both such, you know, incredible people with massive personalities that are so interesting to watch, but it is the curiosity that killed the cat. So the, you know, search for what you're trying to do with your artistry is going to lead you into some weird roads with your wanting to throw a party for a music video. You know, they kind of go hand in hand that you had to throw a party in order to get the scene that you wanted.
Yeah.
But not compromising for that is difficult because of the curiosity of what life looks like for creating the art that you want to create. If you made the song with one other person in the room, directed the music video, organized everything, were performing and directing at the same time, I think that's incredibly notable and worth
Bro,
all
it's
the-
one, it's one vertical of artistry. What is art? I mean, he's one of the biggest YouTubers in the world.
Yeah.
Is storytelling in 5 second or 5 minute videos in art?
I think so.
I think is creating a business, a multi-million-dollar business in art. Sure, there's probably an art to that.
But to Mac's point, like about touching the stove.
Yeah,
yeah.
How old do you touch the stove until you get to? You know what I'm saying? No. I get it, but I'm saying like, and bro, I touched the stove until I was 26.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
I touched a stove made of heroin and crack cocaine.
There's different stoves though.
100%. 100%. Here's
and they come in different shapes and sizes.
They do. But what I'll say is this. I think that when you're a celebrity, there's a lot of stoves. And so in a lot of ways, in this current day and age, if your hope is to become a brand-friendly and sponsored celebrity, which you might not want to be, who wants to be in the mainstream and get big seven-figure deals, like El Hancho over here, you have to keep your hands away from the stove. There's a potential stove right there. I'm not touching it.
Jake Paul is in the stove warehouse.
Yeah, he's surrounded. But I told him. I told him the same thing I fucking told you. If he goes 1 year without touching the stoves, 90% of the stoves leave the warehouse. And you got a lot less stoves to touch. Yeah, Once that target leaves your back, Dawson takes it. Jeffree Star, other people take it. So if you could just get a little bit of fucking time, like he did, between touching the stove, you could probably touch the stove and nobody will be like, yo, why did he do that? Like, you could go back to it.
Or you realize, hey, the stove's hot, shit burns, which is where I'm at. Like, I can happily say I got a pretty good read on whether or not that's a stove. I think it is. Looks like it's on. I'm not going to touch it this time. And I'm 25. It stopped about... What, eight months ago?
But again, we're also sitting here acting like I'm getting in a controversy every week. Before looting, party. Nate, what was it before that? I was clean for a year.
Jake, you talked about being a mega
individual. There's got to be one more thing.
Name it. Go for it.
You drowned your friend John in the fucking pool. No. I saw that.
Jake, name
the controversy. I get in for looting.
What about when you tased that dead rat?
That was you.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yep.
Sorry. That was me. Sorry. That's what I'm saying.
We're sitting here acting like I'm like the devil, but.
Oh, you jumped on a news van.
That's in 2017.
All right, Jake, you talked about becoming a massive independent artist. Do you think that becoming that artist that you want to be and having controversies in your life is kind of the route to get there?
I think I'm just realizing like the more I am myself, the happier I am and the more people fuck with me. So the more I can literally just be authentic and just not like just be who whatever it is that I want to do or create or be a part of, then that's what I'm going to do.
We have the answer.
You have it. What is it?
Wait, also.
Oh, anxiety.
The anxiety is created by you.
Gigi Hadid.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, Anthony, it's all making sense.
What about financial freedom movement?
That's not a controversy though. Teaching kids about how to make money.
It became a thing.
Because
people are mad.
You're right. Because of the stoves. It's exactly what we're saying. It's stove theory. So if you go long enough, bro, if you go long enough, the Gigi Hadid story is going to make the news. If you go long enough, the anxiety is created by you story might not make the news. Eventually people stop saying that kid's a bad kid because you've been doing good shit. Like he put out 120 solid ass podcasts. People are like, maybe that dude in Tokyo, like maybe that was the old him. Maybe he ain't like that anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like what do you always say? You're only as good as your last big thing.
If your last big thing is
burning the shit out of your fucking hand on a stove of pandemic party anxiety tweeting financial freedom, then you know what I'm saying?
That's why this fight's going to be awesome.
Huge.
Awesome.
Win the fight, put out more good music, schedule another fight, and be those three things. And nobody will fucking ever remember the Disney Channel flow. You know what I'm saying? Like you got this, right? You've seen the momentum.
But you're on the right track. I think this song was a major improvement for your career. I loved it. I think you're definitely like starting to blossom into the creations that you're trying to make. And then on top of that, taking a fight with a notable former athlete is incredible.
Huge.
You're totally going in the right direction as far as the things that you've set out for yourself.
No, yeah, 100%. I think there's a fine line though of like just being real and authentic and
it's huge, bro. It's everything. It's everything.
Absolutely.
And you know, just doing what I think is right and where I'm wrong, taking the L, and I'm fine with that.
Right,
I'm fine,
right.
And especially because and I think 23, the age 23, for the Paul brothers is. Like it's almost like
it's monumental.
Bro, I was thinking about this. Not only do we think like so much alike like, in so many different ways, but when you were 23, we literally went through like the same exact trajectory in the weirdest way. From business to girls to the way we think, the way we're maturing. Yep. And you know, I feel like I've taken such a large leap. And I think the looting situation was like a slap in the face. Like, bro, like fucking you're this is it. Like you can't be fucking up. And so I do think there are things that I want to avoid and I don't want to ruffle feathers. But if I do ruffle feathers for doing something that I don't think is wrong, then
too bad.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
He'll say this, and I think a lot of people watch from the outside, you know, credited him bringing on an older brother at that 23-year-old spot with his kind of accelerated responsibility and doing the right thing. Do you have anybody with you right now that you look at as a mentor or somebody that's telling you, you know, do this, don't do this. This is how you fucking
proceed. I think our team is like more solid than ever. I think you were definitely like a blessing for Logan and like the, it almost was just perfect symbiotic relationship.
Oh my God, dude, yeah.
And I think that's something that I could surround myself with better, like someone who is like that, but it doesn't just come out of nowhere. Like these people aren't just like walking around like, hey, come be a perfect figure in my life. And by the way, let's go through a 2-year testing phase. So I know you're trustworthy. Right, so I know you're not so this.
Impossible.
So yeah. I know you're not like right. having all these issues, like just even living with someone they have to pass so many things and like, you never know what people's motives really are. Yeah. So it's really hard to find good people. It really fucking is.
Well, you especially got a couple around city. You now, it seems like.
No, 100%. That's what I'm saying. Like, we have a solid fucking team. But with that being said, none of us are like, we're all under the age of 25. So that is where the difference is like,
yeah.
is like that actual life experience on top of shit, really, really makes a difference. But for being the young cats we are, it's a fucking solid group for sure.
That's why it's always been so. And by the way, like, I don't know if I have to state this or not, but I don't ask you the questions I ask you on the show because I don't love you. Like I, when I say that I want you to succeed, I wholeheartedly fucking mean that, dude. Like, I want you to win the fight. I want you to win the next thing. I want all the people that have shit to say to shut the fuck up.
Bro, we've been.
I want it just as much as he. All right, he's your brother, so he probably wants it a little bit more, but I want it very badly.
Yeah.
But I do feel like to have you on the show and not ask you those questions is irresponsible. You know what I'm saying? 100%. Like, I want to hear you about the stuff. That's all. I'm not trying to press you. I don't want to, especially at 25.
And I understand that. And I understand that. And I think fans, I don't know if you guys see this, but like our fans, especially like yours and mine, pit each other.
They try
against
to.
Each other. Like even with your fans too. Like they like try to be like, oh, well, he's not doing this. They're not doing that. They're not supporting him. He's mad at this. And it's like, no, this is an honest, open discussion where we are helping each other grow and asking each other questions so we can better understand each other. And that's really all it is. So I fully understand that.
Thanks.
You put out a good song. I'm going to share the song. Whether you ask me or not, you going to do a fight at the magnitude of the fight you're about to do, I'm going to promote the fuck out of it.
Hell,
I did it for the last fight.
Yeah.
I said, yo, come on the night shift, talk all about it. At the time, you know, prior to its current rise, it wasn't as valuable, but at the same time, like, I'm always going to fucking do shit to support you, bro. Always.
Bro, we've screamed at each other for nights on end, for hours at a time, talking about shit because I want to go do some dumb shit. And he's like, yo, this is fucking stupid. We've put in so much work. You can't do this, whatever. And so, yeah, just like reemphasizing that it comes from a place of love and the desire to have you succeed, even though it may not seem like it in the moment. Like,
or in the spotlight of the internet. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I find that we get in heated spitting matches, heavy weighted, long debates with the people that we love most.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a level of trust there and love that, you know, that it's coming from a good place deep down, even though in the moment it might seem tough. Goddamn. I think it's all she wrote. Yeah?
Really?
I mean, we could talk about more, but I think it's a good ending note. I think.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you're the boss.
You guys, do you want to talk about Gogo? You want to give her a message?
Yeah. Yeah. Our grandmother passed away. Grandma Gogo. She was a goddamn legend. That lady was a legend. She smoked fucking
like four or five packs
of cigarettes a day for 80 years.
Drinking every day.
80 years and made it to what, 85, 86?
Yeah, crushing it.
My mom's mom.
I had an aunt like that. And to me, that's the epitome of, for you, it might be the birthplace of go fuck yourself. I don't care. Like, the doctor is sitting there and they're like, yo, I gotta tell you, you are literally days away from dying. And the only thing that would speed that up is you hitting another Newport right now. And she's like, fuck you, motherfucker. Yeah, right. Just ripping. My aunt was smoking out of the fucking tube.
Yeah.
And no joke.
No fucking way.
She was one of
that's
those.
Crazy.
She said, I don't give a fuck. Give me my whiskey. Give me my fucking noops. I don't give a shit, bro. And she died saying it.
Yep.
So, I mean, you could definitely
If you died doing what makes you happy, then
I can't fault you, bro.
No, rest in peace, Grandma Gogo. I had Taylor, our cousin Taylor. She said, "Hey, I'm going to speak at Grandma's funeral. Is there anything you want me to say?" I said, "Take a goddamn shot on behalf of me, on behalf of Gogo." She did. She sent me the video. It was great.
She asked me the same question, and I said, "There's a little bit different of a response." I was like, "I just want like everyone there to know how much she meant to me, and like how she raised an amazing daughter who is now our mom, who has taken care of the whole entire family, and yeah. She's just an amazing lady.
It's super sweet. I think I went with the more like
savage.
Because Gogo's a fucking savage. Yeah. I don't know what way you cut it. Like she watching down on us right now, probably not wanting us to be all sappy. She's probably doing the Mickey shake in heaven, just like, yeah, I'm
over. I don't remember her as much, obviously, because I was 2 years younger. Yeah, so that's where I get upset.
But rest in peace, Gogo.
Rest in peace.
Jake Paul, thank you for coming on Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah,
stream fresh out of London.
Stream it.
Save it.
What's
on
the date again
lovers.
For the fight?
September 12th.
Where can we watch it?
You can watch it on Triller Vids or on your pay-per-view TV.
Nice. Very cool. Hit that subscribe button. We love you. We'll see you next time. Take it easy, man. Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.